finding that these suits are being filed in places that are home to large numbers of voters of color. And so we are weighing in on these cases when appropriate, but we expect that they will all fail at the end of the day. And that
Kristen
what we would have lost is time for a smooth transition.
We have to leave it there. Thank you for being with us. President Executive Director of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. That does it for our show. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Be safe, save lives, wear a mask.
Thank you very much, Amy. You are listening to radio station WUSB Stony Brook. And this reminder, we are in the midst of Radiothon. Please give a call to 631-632-6901 with your pledge or visit the website WUSB.FM. It's 6 o'clock. Time once again for Off the Wall. Very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, joined tonight by Kyle.
Yes, hello.
How you doing?
I'm fine.
Well, it's the Tuesday after. It's we made it. We're here. We actually survived Election Day. I don't know about the country, but we made it okay. Wow.
It was several days, wasn't it?
It was.
It seemed like the same day every day, but that was kind of how the last 4 years have been.
Well, it's what happened was, election night was not pleasant. It wasn't, because people, I don't think, remembered what we were expecting. We were expecting a large red wave at first, because for some reason the votes for that for the walk-ins were counted first, and the absentee ballots, the early voting, they were counted afterwards. I would do it the opposite way, but we were told that was going to happen. But everybody was freaking out online, in person, on TV, because it just looked like tremendous losses, and it looked like Trump was going to win another term. And that was something that a lot of people could not handle, and it was distressing.
Well, it's also coupled with Trump's team seizing on that mirage, as it's been called, and then at 2 and 3 in the morning, him defiantly saying he won.
Well,
when it became clear, perhaps it might not be going that way, and it was still unclear.
But you've jumped ahead to where things started to get better. I'm talking about when things, before midnight, where things looked dire. But the reason they looked dire is because exactly what we were told was going to happen happened, where those day of votes were counted. And for instance, here locally, we have a very popular state assemblyman, Steve Englebright. He's an environmentalist. He's been in power forever. And he's the guy who's responsible for saving so much of our landscape.
Natural world.
Exactly. Highly respected. And if you look at the returns, he lost. How is that possible? How could he possibly lose to somebody I'd never even heard of before? But when you look at, actually, you know what? I haven't even looked at it recently. But you look at the returns, and it's noted on some of them, not all of them, it's noted on some of them that a lot of early votes have not yet been counted. And when you look at the number of votes that haven't been counted versus the number of votes that his opponent is ahead, you realize it's a staggering number. And that if it follows the trends that have been dominant everywhere, where the early voting is predominantly Democrat, he's going to win easily. But it looks like he lost, and people can be freaking out about that. I don't even know. I have to check, because they should have counted those votes by today. They say, for some reason, Suffolk County, and every county is different, but Suffolk County said that they weren't going to start counting those votes until 1 week after Election Day. Well, that's today. So they should have counted those votes. I'm gonna check the website, because I honestly haven't had time to check myself, but I assume he's going to win. But that was happening all across the country. And we started seeing states like Wisconsin, states like Michigan, states like Georgia, they started to turn. I was very depressed. When I went to sleep on Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, I was pretty melancholy. You saw me do something that I don't normally do. I prayed. I prayed, because why not? I know that's not really the best reason to pray, but you know what? At that point, you got nothing to lose. I prayed that this country would not go through 4 more years of what it had just been through, because it... Can you guys hear that?
Oh my gosh, you're going to tell... I don't know
I'm not sure, because we've been dealing with this since Saturday morning when the news came through that Biden won. Our neighbor's a little... Bless him. He's just very enthusiastic and happy, and I'm not going to take that away. But I don't know if it's bleeding through. It might be. Just a lot of celebratory sounds.
I've been just focusing on what you're saying, and thankfully I can see you, so I can kind of read your lips.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's what a lot of us are going through, is just basically unmitigated happiness. But actually, not all of us. Obviously, not all of us. And we'll get to that in a moment.
Yeah, there's some really sad people.
The sad people, and that's something. That's healthy to be sad, but to not be in line with reality, that is something that I gotta wonder just what in God's name is going on. As you all know, it started to turn around, and it was good to see that because everything started to play out as we had been told it would. More of the early voting came in, and you saw those numbers change. And, you know, I'm still disappointed by much of this race, but in a way, I think it's a good thing that it wasn't a blowout, because if it was a blowout, I think we would have gotten cocky. I think we would have gotten overconfident. In this particular case, we can look at why it was so close. And when I say so close, it's almost 5 million votes of a difference. Not that the popular vote counts for anything in this crazy place, but it basically makes you ask yourself why. Why wasn't it so obvious that this was a better choice? And the reason is people are easily manipulated by scary words like socialist and defund police and all sorts of things that people were confronted with.
Fear of the other was on the ballot.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No mistaking.
And
in this case, it was Democrats.
Yeah, making them the other is not the hardest thing to do, especially if you don't defend yourself well. And I don't think their side defended themselves that well. But that's the lesson. That's the lesson that has to be learned from this whole experience. You can't take anything for granted. And these crazy accusations and demonizations, you can laugh at them, but unless you defend yourself against them in a way that's convincing, they're going to stick. You know, you got racist bigots like Lee Zeldin, easily reelected, who continue to say things that are completely untrue while going around spreading coronavirus everywhere and denigrating scientists and believing that Trump won the election. Why do people like that keep getting reelected? Because they know how to manipulate the public. They know how to scare them and to say things like Biden is a socialist. Can you imagine Biden a socialist? That should be so easy to dispel. You know, just let him talk. Let him talk for a second about socialism, and you'll see how anti-socialist he is. And I don't agree with a lot of that. I don't agree with a lot of this anti-socialist talk, but it's there. And the Democratic Party certainly is anti-socialist. There's no question about that. And this whole defund the police thing, first of all, that's the dumbest slogan ever. I don't know what people were... I do know what people were thinking, because it's a highly emotional topic. And when people are constantly killed by the police in completely unjustified circumstances, you do say things like that that won't win you a presidential campaign. Absolutely. But for the Democrats to be tied to that emotional outburst, no, that's wrong. And they should not have let that happen. And they did let that happen.
I think a more poignant slogan like that would be defund the militarization of police, or defund the protection of police that break the law or violate people's rights.
I got a better one. And Democrats, this is free.
Defund the police union.
The first. No, I got a better one than that.
What?
Clean up the police.
Oh, okay. Right?
That sounds kind of reactionary too.
Yeah.
But clean up the police, because they're dirty. They are filthy dirty. Yeah. Who would disagree with that?
Who would argue
with that? Clean up the police.
And it's nice and broad, and it can apply to a lot of different situations.
I just thought of that.
Out of nowhere.
Just thought of that. Do the Democrats call me for advice? No.
That's the magic of radio.
They do steal ideas, but they don't call me.
Yeah, we weren't in on the defund Zoom meeting.
Look, a cop waved me through the intersection today. You saw that. I like the cops.
I did.
They do nice things occasionally. Not enough, but occasionally. I'm saying they are important to society, but they need to be on the same side as society. And they have not been for the most part. And I'm talking about not only dirty cops, I'm talking about a system that basically looks after these people who disobey the law, who abuse people. The system should not protect them. So that's where the cleaning up needs to be. And that is something everybody can get behind. But if you go around, you know, being associated with abolish police, defund the police, you're not going to win any elections. You might have some real kick-ass demonstrations, but you're not going to win the election. There's no way you're going to get people in Ohio to vote for you. And I know, who cares about people in Ohio? Well, y'all should, because they make a difference. They add up to the collective number. And in our crazy system, people in that region between New York and California count far more than the people on the coast do. And I don't think that's fair. I mean, if you look at our system, you see how the Senate is made up. How many states? I think it's something like 24 states. If you stack them all up, they equal California in population. And that's 48 senators that they have to the two that California has. Same amount of people, but one group of people who are to the right for the most part, 48. One group of people to the left for the most part, too. How is that fair?
And how would their agendas, how would their social policies, how would their initiatives for legislation or appointees or whatever direction they're going to take the country, how would that be of service to the people of California? Do they have any kind of idea what the population there expects, what the people in urban centers, what their daily life is? It's not yours.
No, exactly.
Out in Ohio, it certainly isn't.
Look, I get the complaint, and we hear this complaint more than we hear any other, that the coastal elites are controlling life for the people in the Midwest and other places. It seems like the opposite to me, because if you have all this power in the Senate, and the Senate is the body that controls things like the Supreme Court and all kinds of nominations and things like that, seems like you're controlling the direction that we're heading in.
They literally set the legislative agenda.
Exactly. And now, you hear that?
I think the neighbors upstairs are calling, trying to find out.
Well, they keep calling us. I don't know if you hear the phone, but they keep calling us thinking that's us. And it's actually, I'm not going to rat them out, but, you know, let them celebrate. Let them celebrate.
Just, I think they're going to have to work it out. They maybe should just, I don't know, play their own music or go out to dinner to ignore them.
February, if this is still going on, I'll say something, but right now, let us, you know, it's a happy time, I think. But it's not that happy because of the Senate. And as I said, it's just not fair. It's not fair the way they do things, because a small group of people get to control a larger group of people. Now, I don't have any trouble with things being completely different in another state, you know, in the middle of New Mexico or Arizona or Wyoming. Do whatever you want, you know, live life, how hand out guns to kids, whatever. But don't tell me in New York how I have to live, and I won't tell you how you have to live. But through the Senate, that is exactly what happens. That's the problem. I think what the Senate, you know, since it doesn't represent people, it represents acreage, and that's really what it is, or just states, because, you know, one state is equal to another state. Well, they're not. The state may have more land and less people. It should not have the same amount of representation as a state that has so many more people, because they're supposed to be representing people, not just names of states, not acreage. It's extremely frustrating to see this happen. I think the way to handle this is if the Senate dealt with issues only that affect how people in those specific states live and not the whole country. So, you know, something in Wyoming, if it affects how somebody lives their life in Wyoming, they get a say in that. They get an equal say in how life exists in their home states. But not the whole country. You don't get to dictate how things are on the other side of the United States. It's not fair, especially if you're given more of a voice than people who are basically the majority. So anyway, right now it looks like Georgia is going to be key for deciding how the Senate goes next year. Is Mitch McConnell going to run the country, or is Joe Biden going to run the country? Because if it goes the way that it is now,
we have the House, right? We saw the House Democrats take over.
Well, they didn't take
narrowly.
They lost seats.
They lost seats, yeah. But they remained in control. Is I guess what I meant.
Yeah,
like at two. I think it was 218. I saw in the Times.
And again, a wake up call. Why? Why are people like Zeldin constantly reelected? Why do these people that spread lies believed? it's because the Democrats aren't strong enough in combating those messages. And it's because people are influenced by fear and by slogans and by images that scare them. And that's something that, again, Democrats just have not been good at refuting and tossing back in their faces. You know, the fact that Lee Zeldin is a super spreader of COVID-19, went to a Trump rally in Tulsa that killed people and laughed it off, walks around without a mask, doesn't believe in the science. How is that not used constantly to scare the crap out of people? Because it should be. I know it's beneath us to campaign in that manner, but it ain't beneath him to call his opponent a socialist, even a communist, and to imply that she wants to go around burning cities and all kinds of other horrible things. Yeah, this is the game. This is how the game is played. You either win it or you take the high road and sit it out till the next time.
Zeldin, the disease vector. Yeah, I could see that as a campaign commercial. It's just,
you know, I am very disappointed in Long Island because not only did Suffolk County go for Trump, but Nassau County did as well. It's really disgusting. You're seeing, you know, we went out Saturday after the announcement that Biden had in fact won to look for celebrations. Didn't find any. We found pickup trucks with Trump banners still driving around honking their horns.
They looked a little confused.
What the hell is wrong with you, Long Island? Biden won. You don't have to be afraid to celebrate. You know, these Trump goons are not going to be around forever, and they don't control things. They don't. They may try and make you think that way. We have to stand up to them. And right now, what we are in is a super crisis in this country because they're not accepting reality. We thought this might happen with Trump. Didn't expect it to happen with so many other Republicans. And what they're doing now, they're changing the narrative yet again. They're installing fear into people's heads and saying that the election was stolen with absolutely no evidence. So are they going to get away with it again? Are they going to do the same thing that they did when they called people socialists and anti-police and anarchists wanting to burn down your city? Is that going to work here, where they're going to basically accuse the other side of stealing an election when there's absolutely no evidence to suggest that? And if you examine everything about this, you'll see that the elections throughout the country were fairly smooth. Fairly smooth. They followed pretty much the pattern that people expected. And any improprieties are investigated. But there aren't any. They expect this election to just be overturned because they want it to be. And that's not how it works. But yet you have all of these people in Trump's circle who are supporting him, insisting that he is the valid president. It's going to get ugly. It's going to get really, really ugly if they don't back down, because they lost the election. They absolutely lost. And to go back to 2016, you know, Trump won that election, even though he lost a popular vote by 3 million. Democrats accepted that. Didn't seem fair. The system didn't seem to work for them, but they accepted it on the very night of the election.
And they let's just say they didn't have to enjoy it, the mm-hmm. 4 years of glorious malfeasance that has been this administration. They did not enjoy it. And yeah, it was all about owning liberals and tears and snowflakes. Yeah, hilarious. But they did everything in their power to activate other people and to do everything they could mm-hmm. to compete in the system we have. Not stealing the election, not doing all of these alleged indiscretions that have no evidence. Like, they just activated and barely turned out the vote mm-hmm. because of all the vitriol that's been said about them, as you've been describing.
Right.
So I don't want to hear about, yeah, it's no comparison and complete hypocrisy and irony from a lot of the pundits right now on conservative media, but also the GOP themselves. And it's unforgivable. This will perhaps be my life's work, but I think that this behavior is unconscionable.
It is.
Unforgivable, untenable, disgraceful, shameful. I mean, I could go on. We have dictionaries.
We have lots of words. A big thesaurus. But the thing is, there is no way, even if there is impropriety, for this election to be turned around. It just doesn't work mathematically. And nobody is standing in the way of investigating anything that was done in an improper manner. But the evidence simply has not manifested itself. It has not been brought forward. All these court appearances and lawsuits that the Trump people are filing, judges are asking, so where is your proof? And basically, there's no proof because they're not presenting it. It's not there. Now, you're seeing a good number of Republicans who are basically standing up and saying, yeah, you lost. Not enough, though. And in fact, every day you seem to be seeing more of them saying, oh, no, he won. And it's nothing short of a coup, or an attempted coup. It's not going to work. I think this is the line that Trump cannot cross. The question is, how much damage is he going to do attempting to cross this? And that is made all the worse by the people that are siding with him at this point. And Mitch McConnell is one of those people. So again, is this the guy that's going to be controlling what goes forward in the Senate for the next at least 2 years? Or is he going to get slapped down and put in a minority role where he belongs? It all comes down to Georgia, because now, in this unique, crazy system we have, there are two runoff elections that both happen to be in the same state that's going to be happening in early January.
It's because two of the leaders did not capture over 50% of the vote, and that is a state law.
That's a state law.
In Georgia.
Yeah.
So that's kind of lucky that it ended up being contended in such a state. I mean, it's just there. That is, again, this narrow,
well, not
narrow
only,
defeat.
Not
of
only
what
that.
Has been a hegemon.
Not only that, but the fact that it happened in the same state, yes, but Georgia in particular. A state with somebody as smart as Stacey Abrams, who was basically strategizing to get the vote out. And boy, did she do a good job during this election. It's simply incredible. The turnout of black Americans and just in general in Georgia, how that state has flipped blue. And that is something incredible.
Her organization brought in like hundreds of thousands of voters.
Yeah.
I mean, I can maybe think of a handful of people that, you know, I made sure were going to vote. But, you know, organizations like that, that is the real grassroots work of getting people activated, letting them understand what's at stake.
Yeah, so having that particular state be the one that will decide if the Senate goes to 50-50 as opposed to, I guess, it could be 52-48. But if these two seats are won by Democrats, and it's likely that if you vote for one as a Democrat, you're going to vote for the other one as a Democrat on the same day, same election. Well, then it's 50-50, and you might say, oh, it's a tie. Yeah, well, that's where Kamala Harris comes in as the vice president to break any ties. And also to appoint somebody to be the majority leader. Yeah, if the vice president is on your side, Mitch McConnell is no longer the majority leader. Someone of her choosing is. That's how it works. So that that will determine if Biden can actually get anything done in at least the next 2 years. And I think it's very, very important that he does have a chance to get something done to undo some of the damage that Trump has done over the years, and all kinds of other things as well. Well, we'll get to that. But some deadlines, important deadlines for the election in Georgia for our Georgian listeners. Let's see. The voter registration deadline for that particular race.
When is the election?
January 5th.
January 5th, 1/5/2021.
Yes. But you have to register to vote by December the 7th. That's Pearl Harbor Day, I believe. I'm going to verify this. I'm looking at one website. I'm not sure if it's completely... December 7th. So that is when you have to... If you're not already registered, that is. If you are registered, then you're fine. You can also start early voting. Early voting begins on December 14th, so 1 week after that. December 14th, early voting begins for that runoff, and January 5th is the runoff election day, January the 5th.
So make your voice heard.
Yeah.
If you agree or disagree, it doesn't really matter, but participate. Mm-hmm. Every single person there needs to participate. It really makes a difference. We've seen how close all of these things are. be activated, consider what the candidates have to offer, and make a choice.
Now, the consequences, if this election does not go what I consider to be the right way, it basically means that nothing Biden wants to do, or if he wants to appoint somebody, he can't appoint anybody that Mitch McConnell does not approve of, won't even make it to the floor.
Which means cabinet.
Absolutely no progressive candidates at all. Nothing. He'll have to compromise on everything. And Democrats will wind up looking extremely weak as a result of that. And then
it'll,
you know,
feel like Obama all over again.
I don't think he was particularly weak, but yeah, I guess.
He didn't get as many appointments.
Well,
he had a lot of pushback.
Again, Mitch McConnell blocked so much of what he wanted to do. Imagine being able to actually get something done. And one of those things is balancing the court. And that's a better way. Democrats, listen again. This is a better way to phrase it. Not stacking the court, balancing the court. It's already been stacked. That's what Trump has done over the last 4 years. He stacked the court. When somebody comes to you and asks, are you in favor of stacking the court? Say no. But now we have to fix the court that's been stacked by equalizing it, by basically balancing it so that not one side has so much of an advantage. And who can object to that? Well, I know unreasonable people will object to that, but not talking about having a massive liberal advantage. No, we're talking about having a balanced court. Right now, it's 6-3 conservative. That's not fair.
And most of them are like Christian, I believe.
Yeah, it should
or
be.
Catholic.
Yeah, the religion doesn't really matter to me, but yeah, it should be balanced. It should be balanced in all ways.
All ways.
Yeah. And if you're opposed to that, you got to ask yourself why you're opposed to that. Okay, so this is the good part. This is where we can feel good about what has happened. Biden, this is what he can do without Mitch McConnell. He's going to rejoin the Paris Climate Accords. He's going to reverse Trump's withdrawal from the World Health Organization. He's going to repeal the ban on almost all travel from Muslim-majority countries. He'll reinstate the program allowing Dreamers who were brought to the United States illegally as children to remain in the country. That's the things he can do without having to go through Republicans. Now, a Republican-held Senate, or even one with a narrow Democratic majority, probably will affect Biden's cabinet picks, given the Senate's power to confirm nominees. But one way around that is to appoint them in an acting capacity, which is a tactic that that Trump used. So there's that to consider as well. Interesting times ahead, especially if the contentiousness continues.
It's not showing a lot of signs of slowing up, at least in the last week. I mean, the week started out with a lot of what was promised, but it's changing rapidly. The form of it and the resistance is there, but it's looking, the absurdity level, I think, is increasing like convex in an inverse proportion.
Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have time to make fun of the Four Seasons thing. The Four Seasons thing that basically everybody is making fun of. Yeah, he had or Giuliani had a press conference in the parking lot of a landscaping company called Four Seasons because apparently they thought it was the hotel. Yeah, you know what? Let's let a lot of the people tear that one apart. It just, you know, you get the feeling sometimes between all of them catching COVID and all these complete mess-ups that fate is not really on their side, and they don't seem to realize that. They don't seem to get that pretty obvious fact. Watching Biden over the past few days, boy, he seems presidential. You know, even if I voted against him, he basically looks like somebody capable of doing the job without constantly having temper tantrums. I just wonder what that's going to be like. All right, we have a problem. The problem, as we've been saying over the past 4 years, is Trump. But now it's going to be Trump out of office. Now, as president, we all know that he selectively revealed highly classified information to attack his adversaries, to gain political advantage, to impress or intimidate foreign governments. In some cases, he even jeopardized U.S. intelligence capabilities. Now, as an ex-president, there's every reason to believe he'll do the same, posing a unique national security dilemma for the Biden administration. Now, all presidents exit the office with valuable national secrets in their heads, including the procedures for launching nuclear weapons, intelligence gathering capabilities, including assets deep inside foreign governments, assets meaning people, and the development of new and advanced weapon systems. It's in his head. As long as he believes with his head.
Yeah, but he didn't really pay attention to any of it.
Well, okay.
As far as we know.
You have touched upon the one bright spot in all of this.
And I think after like day one, it became a strategy, or for his own safety, or for the rest of our safety. I don't know.
Well, this is the first time though that there has been a real concern over what an ex-president might do after leaving office that could hurt the country that he allegedly was serving. And here's the thing. As president, Trump has access to all classified information in the government and the authority to declassify and share any of it for any reason. After he leaves office, he's still going to have access to the classified records of his administration. But the legal ability to disclose them disappears the moment Biden is sworn in January. So if he tries any funny stuff, the handcuffs come on immediately. Now, many concerned experts were quick to note that Trump reportedly paid scant attention during his presidential intelligence briefings and has never shown a clear understanding of how the national security apparatus works. His ignorance may be the best counterweight to the risk he poses. According to Jack Goldsmith, who ran the Office of Legal Counsel at the Justice Department in the George W. Bush administration, he said a knowledgeable and informed president with Trump's personality characteristics, including lack of self-discipline, would be a disaster. The only saving grace here is that he hasn't been paying attention. Yes, he hasn't been paying attention, and that's what could save us.
So true. If he took a passing interest in the complexities of the institution he was heading, it is kind of dangerous, kind of staggering the amount of avenues you could go down, especially if in debt, say, for instance, to a foreign government or something like and some entity that has leverage over you. All of those things are factors and come into play. But this is not a guy that was reading big, thick binders of briefings. And in fact, a lot of the reporting, of what I remember the last 3 or 4 years was that people were presenting him with like menus or like kind of dumbed down briefings that look like, I don't know, bingo game boards or something.
Lots of pictures.
Yeah, terrorist bingo or something. I don't know what he was looking at, but they took him as about as seriously as he took them, or took what the level of interest and seriousness he takes those briefings. I think he was going to be matched with the same level of seriousness. And if he's not paying attention to one thing, and they have to spell out launching some command with dinosaur shaped chicken nuggets or something and that's the only thing he understands, then I'm not as worried about that. But that is a really good point, because there's a lot of complexities that leading this country and that your advisors are going to be bringing to you if you're paying attention.
But the thing is, and I don't think many of us have really considered this, we're all scared to death about Trump being in power with the potential to launch all kinds of bombs and things like that and just screw up the country in all manner of just you figure out the combinations. But to think of him after he leaves office as still being a threat, I think that's something a lot of us haven't considered.
And perhaps with a vendetta.
Oh, definitely with a vendetta.
A grudge.
But here's the other factor. The clumsy release of information, obviously, is the biggest risk, but this has not been ruled out. He might trade secrets, perhaps in exchange for favors, to ingratiate himself with prospective clients in foreign countries or to get back at his perceived enemies. And when he leaves office, Trump will be facing a crushing amount of debt, including hundreds of millions of dollars in loans that he has personally guaranteed. So there's that, you know?
Yeah, I think he'd be trading for passports at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There won't be any intelligence briefings that Trump will be a part of in the future. Ex-presidents have received those in the past before meeting with foreign leaders or embarking on diplomatic missions at the current president's request. According to one expert, I think that tradition ends with Trump. It's based on courtesy and the idea that presidents may call on their predecessors for frank advice. I don't see Joe Biden calling up Trump to talk about intricate national security and intelligence issues, and I don't think Biden will send him anywhere as an emissary. Well, there's always hell. Do we have an ambassador to hell?
Or North Korea?
Well, he already has friends
Come
there.
On, he's like the homie. Just Biden just sends him on a little doting trip to Pyongyang. He can go hang out with his bud and, you know, clear the air. Yeah, sure, it'll work out fine.
You know, I'm actually considering it.
It wouldn't be bad. Just make him the envoy to North Korea. He can, you know, make a hotel in Pyongyang and bankrupt it. I don't know. Whatever he does.
So, okay. That's assuming we get to the stage of him actually being an ex-president. The way people are talking now, that's not going to happen. You know, it's really scary to see this complete refusal to accept reality. And I certainly hope our institutions are up to the task of pushing back, because they may very well be called upon to do that.
When there's been a steady diet of like misinformation and disinformation, I mean, people, and they're in this sort of charismatic, this psychosis from a charismatic or hypnotist or something, like just in the grips of worshiping and believing in this idea that is Trumpism, I think it is ripe for disbelief of actual facts, and that's where like they're being compromised. The intellectual and critical thinking skills are being short-circuited, bypassed, degraded in their function to look at it and say, you know, I believe in the tax policy. I believe in the things you purported to say, but you are not representing those when you say this or when you do that, or seeing consequences like the impact on immigration, not seeing that as something that is deeply connected to you and your society, and having been fed this adversarial dose of untruths about other people, it's going to make you susceptible to believing that lie in the moment when you most need to have at least a sliver or a thread of critical thinking to say, you know what, I might have been on board for this, but that's not me. That's not what I stand for. And I'm not seeing enough of that. There's this mentality that is, we know what it is. It's we've lived through it, and it's really hard to sort of guide people out of this lunacy. There's no trust. I think that's a big thing, that trust has been eroded between people. We don't trust Republicans, and why should we? And Republicans don't trust Democrats.
Yeah, but it's not an equal thing. It really is not.
It shouldn't be at this stage.
I think that the level-headed people on the Republican side have shown their true colors by saying, okay, we had a fair election. This is how it turned out. And we must move forward. And maybe they're not happy with the results, but they've accepted them. I'm seeing on the other Republicans' side what they're saying. They continue to treat Democrats as if they're the ones complaining, saying, make liberals cry. That is literally what the president's son has been saying. Make liberals cry. It's disgusting to say things like that in the first place, but hey, you know, liberals aren't the ones who are crying right now. It's you guys that are crying. You're the ones that are upset and fighting reality. So these are people who are showing their true colors right now. This is something we have to remember. The olive branch has been reached out, given to the people that lost. A lot of people have slapped it back in the faces of the people who have been reaching out. We need to remember that. We can't give them yet another chance, because these people will throw you down as soon as they have the next opportunity.
So they get the arrows.
Arrows?
Yeah, you get the olive branch of the arrows.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen the seal of the United States of America?
I haven't looked at that really carefully, because it always leads to a conspiracy.
Okay. But look at what the eagle's holding.
Speaking of conspiracies, I am so sick of conspiracies, you know, and even Fox News is starting to get it. They're starting to actually report news, and there's all kinds of pushback within Fox. In fact, I saw this. I don't usually do this. I read Breitbart News, and the only reason I read Breitbart News is because Google News told me to read it. What's wrong with you, Google? Come on. But basically, the headline is, Bret Baier deletes tweet that exposed exploding backlash against Fox News. This is all they got. So basically, I'm going to read you a little bit of it. The Fox News channel's Bret Baier has deleted a tweet that proved the backlash against the disgraced cable news network has exploded. So basically, here's the tweet. The tweet was, join me and Martha McCallum tonight at 8 p.m. on Fox News. That was the tweet. And basically, the fact that it got all kinds of replying that was kind of nasty, saying, no thanks, nope, big negative, nope, dumb with Fox, boycott Fox News, et cetera, et cetera. And then the tweet got deleted. Wow, the tweet got, maybe the tweet got deleted because the show already aired, or maybe they just got sick of having all these people posting negative comments. But this is not a scandal. This is not a story. It's basically, if anything, it shows that there are people at Fox News that actually, the tweet didn't say anything, but there are people who have said that, yeah, Biden won the election because that is what happened. That is the fact. And you can't simply come up with an alternative reality, but that's what Breitbart News has done. That's what Newsmax.
That's not how they think.
Newsmax, yeah. What's that other one? OA something? OAS? OA?
One America News.
OAN. Yeah. And shame on Optimum for having Newsmax on as a legitimate
all of it.
Channel.
Yeah.
Oh my God! What are you thinking?
Altice.
What?
I know some shareholders. We're not happy.
We're not happy with this. Look, have diversity. You know, the I-24 Israeli news network. Okay, fine. That's it's okay. I wish you'd stop calling it unbiased because it's obviously biased. Every news source is biased, and just because you own this one doesn't mean they're not biased. But Newsmax, I mean, you might as well just start airing random YouTube channels. Come on, this is wrong. Imagine if Al Jazeera. Oh my God, I did the worst thing. Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera, a completely respected international news network. If Al Jazeera was added to Optimum's lineup, the outrage that our fellow racist Long Islanders would be expressing right now.
They'd be burning cable boxes and running them over with their trucks.
With absolutely no evidence that they have been criticized by governments all around the world for being fair, because that's what happens to media. Newsmax are a bunch of conspiracy nuts, and yet that is what you choose to air. It's disgusting. Anyway, so yeah, conspiracies. How many conspiracies have come out in the last few days? And most of them being pushed by Trump himself. Everything from Sharpies invalidating.
Ballots being burned.
Ballots being burned. Thousands of ballots. Ballots from Mars.
I heard just before air some woman talking about computer software that made it. Oh no, I think it was the Daily Show. The computer software program that deletes ballots. And
we should make up one right now and see how long it takes to get onto the news or get into Trump's Twitter feed.
Well, I don't know if you realize, but the extraterrestrials that came down actually took an entire container of ballots. They just beamed it up onto their saucer.
Really?
Yeah, and there's actually pictures of the saucer with this container just basically like levitating below the saucer as it flies off into the sunset.
You know what it is? It's global peace and all that, because most aliens embrace that and try to teach that to us. How dare they? And that's what makes them anti-Republican. So yeah, they do steal the ballots that are for people like Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. Makes perfect sense. No, it's ever since 9/11, you know, the truthers and then the birthers and just every possible conspiracy theory you can think of. You can never, never prove these people wrong. They will never accept any bit of reality. They can always find somebody with some kind of a title that will make it seem like what they're saying makes sense. You will never win these arguments. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time on them. look to facts, look to impartial people that are trying to get to the truth. And there are a lot of good journalists out there, so many of them. That's why I really am upset when people condemn the media. The media is not just one monolithic entity. It's comprised of all kinds of different people. And some of them are really, really good, have been doing a tough job for the last 4 years, have been demonized as the enemy of the people. And we should be thanking them now.
Actually, I think CNN's been running a card that says, thanks for listening to us or trusting us when it mattered most.
Yeah.
So they're appreciative of what people have done and that their audience has remained their audience.
And while I'm not happy with everything I see on their network, I think they have done a good job trying to get the news out to us, as have most networks. And I'm even complimenting Fox when they get it right. But the fact is, their personalities, and by personalities, I mean Tucker Carlson and Hannity and all the others, these are not journalists. They're, like I said, personalities, people who are there to rile people up and just to get us thinking everything is wrong and to get us arguing.
And to show conflict.
It's like what you hear on AM radio.
Yep.
And the reason there are so many people who are basically truck drivers and people who somehow are stuck listening to AM radio, there's nothing else on. If you go up and down the dial, that's pretty much all you hear. I think, you know, NPR should just buy up a bunch of high power AM stations so that at least when these people are driving cross country, they have an alternative and they might hear something intelligent.
Yeah, and this phenomena goes all the way back to the fairness doctrine, I believe is what it's called, and that allowed for market holders to not have to have fair time, I believe, or it also affected ownership laws. I don't know exactly.
It died
details.
Under Reagan. Yeah.
Was it?
It
yeah.
died under Reagan, and that's when you started seeing this hate radio, you know, predominantly right wing.
That required equal. That it required.
It used
equal
to.
Time,
used
and,
to.
And that was taken down, and right. that combined with a lot of the consolidation rules mm-hmm. that involving ownership. I don't know exactly what that case is called. If it has a name, but I know that law I'm thinking of that disallowed or allowed made it such that TV stations and newspapers can't own multiple entities and formats within one market, et cetera, et cetera.
You know what it is? This guy has been playing soca music since Saturday, and there are no sad soca songs. Do you know that? They're all happy. They're all I get it now.
It has to be related, though, right? I mean,
yeah. Huh. Well, anyway, it's good. I like hearing happy people or happy music, at least. There are things to be glad about. Marijuana passing in New Jersey. That's something to be glad about.
I'm really impressed, New Jersey.
Yeah, so now it's New Jersey, Massachusetts, and Vermont, all bordering New York. Cuomo has said that this is the year, and it has to be the year because of all the financial distress that we're in because of COVID. And marijuana sales will bring some tax money in.
I want to see some real New York City grown diesel.
New York City grown?
NYC diesel from NYC.
Let's see. You know, let's see if that happens.
Where are the Manhattan strains?
We went up to Massachusetts a while back. Didn't get to talk about this, but basically wanted to test out their system. I was super impressed. Basically, we drove, and you were on some kind of an app.
We researched how to find the different places, and then I selected one,
okay.
essentially. And then I went to their site. I didn't even need an app. It was, I believe, through a browser, but I was able to transact and participate. And basically, what they want you to do, it's kind of adorable, but they're at a point where people aren't coming into the stores. It's,
right.
it's curbside.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a lot of other takeout and grocery
curbside
places.
Curbside pot sales. Imagine that.
So you transact, you make your order, you schedule your pickup time, and you pull up. And they're waiting.
They're right there.
Hand you a credit card machine, check your ID, all that. And then you know you have something that's tested. It's got documentation. It's been through a supply chain. And honestly, you pay a little bit in tax. It's not much different. But for the quality, like, you're happy to pay it.
Yeah.
It's like, depending on, you know, if you spend $100, it's maybe like $15 or something. So it's not bad.
It was just, I was impressed with how amazingly well organized it was, how friendly the people were, how clean everything looked. And we just basically pulled up. Guys waiting for us in the parking lot. Wanted to see ID from both of us. And quality. Good quality, intelligent people that understand what it is they're doing. It's just, I'm so impressed and happy to see that. And the fact that it's going to be coming to New York. It will come to New York. Don't let the naysayers keep it out of Long Island, which I know a lot of people are trying to, again, put fear into people's heads. Don't listen to them. They're wrong. They are so wrong. This is a good thing on so many levels.
A lot of healing, I think, is in order, and there are a lot of different groups that will benefit from this, especially like on the medical side. They need to be considered for veterans and people with chronic conditions. Should be first in line. They should be brought in. People that have been growing under medical licenses. There's a lot of aspects of this that I really, really hope the New York State Health Service or entity really, really focuses in and does what's right for the state and what's right for the localities. And don't get caught up in, you know, oh my God, there's this and that, you know, the zoning stuff. Just be very careful about it. Do it right.
Mm-hmm.
Don't put stuff right next to, you know, nursery schools or whatever.
But what stuff. Is a nursery school kid going to come in and try to buy pot? That's
no,
not
they're
going to
get
happen.
Checked at the door.
Right.
It's if it's pro if it's prohibited, then you know they could you know get solicited to on their
Look,
way.
These are good people, educated people that want to keep drugs away from kids.
There are a lot of states.
And having them running things is so much better than the alternative.
It is, and there's a lot of states to look to. For example, so it'll be really exciting if New York goes in that direction.
So, yeah, they tried in 2019. Democrats actually prevented that from moving forward. 2020 tried. COVID-19 kind of made everything not work out. 2021 is the year. It will happen. Some worrying news. Long Island coronavirus positive rate has jumped from 1.3% to 3.4%. That's in 2 weeks. This is it, folks. This is what we've been expecting. The second wave is starting to begin.
Wait, where was that?
In Long Island, right here.
On the island?
Yes, on the island.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah,
it's happening.
Going up.
It's happening right now. And basically, how you prevent it from getting worse, wear a damn mask. That's all it is. You know, we were out earlier today. I noticed everybody had a mask on. I feel so proud of people when they do that. You can go outside. You can do normal things if you wear a mask and the virus won't spread. The Black Lives Matter protest proved this. It's one thing if you don't buy into their opinions, at least buy into this. By having mass rallies and not having super spreader events because they were wearing masks, hey, that proves it right there, because the Trump rallies that didn't have masks are super spreader events. So, okay, all you gotta do is wear a mask and you can do anything you want, almost, within reason.
Where to?
Yeah, where to? COVID-19 is causing SUNY schools to change the way they are doing the semester. After Thanksgiving, everybody is staying home. Yeah, not coming back. Everything will be online after Thanksgiving. Makes sense, because that's a great way to transport COVID back and forth, and you don't want to be doing that.
And the reducing of frequency of that back and forth, that's
and
a good idea.
Can I end with a final bit of good news? The Sag Harbor Cinema, which burned down a few years ago, is reopening. It's been rebuilt completely. And having to deal with COVID and everything else, that place was a real monument, the center of the town. It's worth going out there to check it out. So Sag Harbor Cinema is back.
A lot of cinemas are. They're really trying. So if you can participate, help some of those local establishments get back on their feet.
Hey, we are out of time. I'm going to knock on his door and try to get the music turned down just a little bit. Write to us, otw@2600.com. This is the best way I can think of to usher in a new era. Clown time is over. Good night.
Tears on your black veil, return to ransom. A part of the fingernail says it's so handsome. Clown time is over. Time to take over. While others just talk and talk. We'll be right back.
park.